Today she is Masechta Gittin Daf Lamed. We will begin Bezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. It says Gemara, who gave the shadla gita ledvisu? There was an individual who sent a get to his wife. Amalei l'shliach, and the husband said to the shliach, letisrei linele, please do not give her a get atlas yomim, only after 30 days have passed. Itnes begoy tlosin yomim, something happened beyond his control that he could not deliver the get during those 30 days. And asla kamei de Rava, he asked Rava, the question he was going to ask Rava was, could he ask somebody else to give the get instead of him? Asla kamei de Rava, could he ask somebody else to give the get instead of him? Amar Rava, says Rava, we learned in our Mishnah, Chola, that if the shliach who was sent to deliver the get got ill, the halach is Chola, if the person who was sent to deliver the get, he could appoint another shliach. Tamamai, what's the reason, as we explained in our previous shiur, that this is the halacha? Meshum the onus, because something happened beyond his control. Says the Gemara, this shliach, hai nami onesu, the case in our we are discussing today is also a situation where this individual is an onus, and therefore, presumably, he could appoint another shliach in his place. Amalei, so Rava said to the shliach, m'sa mila kamei didon, tell us the bezdin, b'fani nechtav, b'fani nechtam. Tell us those words of b'fani nechtam, and the basar tlasun yomin. And now, when 30 days pass, because since the husband had been very specific that he doesn't want that the get should be delivered to his wife prior to 30 days, so the basar tlasun yomin. After 30 days, mishmilin and shliach, we the bezdin will appoint a shliach for yivin alei neila, and he will and that shliach will give the get to the wife. Amalei Rabbanan l'Rava, but says Rabbanan, so asked Rabbanan to Rava, how could this be? This second shliach cannot give the get, as we just learned, till after 30 days. Ve'y shliach l'litin negirushin hu. Since this shliach is not an individual who could accomplish what the halacha requires him to do, to be a shliach for the gerushin, so that should disqualify him. Amalei, so Rava responded to Rabbanan, Kivan Dilbasa Tlasunyoim, once the 30 days pass, Matsi Megarish, he can then deliver the get, once the 30 days pass, says the Gemara, Kishlich Shanitan Legurushin, who it's considered a good shliach. So Chasam Sofer explains that what the Machloikas here is as follows. The Rabbanan of the opinion that those 30 days, indeed he's not a shliach. And the get that the second shliach is holding on to during the 30 days is only like a shliach of watching a pikadin. That isn't the shliach legrushin. The Rav, on the other hand, holds that since ultimately he will be a shliach for the gerushin, so even though right now he cannot give the get, because right now it's before the 30 days are up, that is enough, according to Rava, that it should be considered a shliach legerishin. The other achroinim say that, of course, he's a shliach legerishin even during those 30 days. Because, as the Gemara very clearly said, ultimately, he's going to be the shliach for the gerishin. The explanation why they explained the Rabbanan are concerned is the halacha that a shliach is only considered a shliach if today he can accomplish the act of gerushin. If today he can't accomplish the fact of gerushin, that is already enough. That makes him not to be a shliach legerushin. The Rav is of the opinion, it's not that he can't accomplish the gerushin. Of course he can accomplish the gerushin. The issue here is a very different issue, says the Imre Moshe. How does the halacha view this situation? And Rava's situation says that he is a shliach. There's an external issue preventing him from giving the get, but that doesn't mean that he should not be considered a valid shliach. Says the Gemara v'leichish, but asked the Rabbana a different question to Rava. Since there's a 30-day delay until the get is given, so why should we not be concerned that during those 30 days, Shem Pius, maybe he made peace with his wife, and maybe during that time he was with her alone, which as we've learned and will learn, that's considered a get yoshen. A get yoshen may not be used for a get. And the reason is, as we've learned previously in our Masechta, there's a concern of Hashem Yoyim Rekita Kadam Abna, that if they're going to see a date on the get, and they're going to see, and she had relations with her husband after the date, people are going to say that that child was born out of wedlock. So, as Rashi points out, if there's a concern that maybe the husband made peace with his wife, and we have all these concerns, then why don't we, aren't we always concerned? So Rashi explains very simply. In a normal case where there is no time delay between the writing and giving the shliach of the get, and then he should give it to the wife, the husband knows that his time is up, and we're not worried that he's going to do something towards reconciliation. Here, the husband knows that the shliach can't deliver the get for 30 days. Since the husband knows that the get cannot be delivered for 30 days, he's not concerned that maybe during this time, there is a concern that during this time, Shem appears. Miloy Tanan, where do we find this concept? Says the Gemara, if somebody gives a get to his wife, and he says, when he gives the get, that the get is valid mi'akshav, im le'bas mi'kamba at shnei masa chodesh, if I won't show up until 12 months are up. And the halacha is, meis b'teich shmena as chodesh, if he dies during those 12 months, so obviously he's not coming after the 12 months, hareza get, the get is valid from mi'akshav, from today. Vavinim, and the Gemara over there asks, v'necha shem apis, maybe during this interval from when he gave the get until he passed away, they reconciled. Vamar Abba Bahuna, Hach Abba Mishmei Derav, Sha'omer, the case is speaking about the husband said to Bezdin, Nemanas Alai, that if the wife will, that if I will come and make a claim on the get, that it's a get yoshen, that we reconciled, she will believe to say, Loima, she will believe to say, Shloi Basi, that never happened. So since he explained the Mishnah that way, only in that case where the husband made this stipulation, are we not concerned Shema Pius. But everywhere else, we should be concerned. So why aren't we concerned in this case? So Ichsef. So Rava was indeed embarrassed. How does he answer this question that why aren't we to be concerned that's a get yoshin? L'soif egloi milsa. It says the Gemara, ultimately what was discovered, that Rusa Hava, that this story was a story that the wife was a Rusa, an Arusa, and they never had Nesuin. Amar Rava, to which Rava said, Im Amar Benesua, when we're talking about a marriage that was consummated, so they already had this full-fledged relationship, the husband and wife, so there's a concern that since they have this relationship, Shema Pius, maybe they made up. But here, Yom Barusa, where we're only referring to Narusa, that we don't have to be concerned was what happened. Amar Rava, Havada Kamei Bailon. But what is a legitimate question, Kimezra Bezdin Shliach, when Bezdin appoint a new Shliach, as we've been learning in the Mishnah and the Gemara, Befanov, does it have to be done in the presence of the first Shliach, or Shlei Befanov, or does it not have to be done in his presence? That, as we've learned, explains the Chazon Ish. That Rav is talking about, as we learned in the Mishnah, a get that was brought from Chutz Laretz, and where halacha is that the first shliach says, b'fani nechtam, and now the second shliach is appointed. And when he delivers the get to the wife, he says, shliach bezdin ani, and therefore that takes the place of b'fani nechtam. So now the question is, does the second shliach have to be there when the first one says, "Mefani nechtam, mefani nechtam," because only then could he positively be a new shliach, or is it not necessary? Is it not necessary for him to be there? Says the Chazon Ish that this Gemara's question is only in the case that we just described, where the get was being brought from Chutz Laretz, and since the get was being brought from Chutz Laretz, and Befani Nechtam had to be said, now the question is, does the second Shliach have to be there when the Befani Nechtam is said? But, says the Chazon Ish, if this was a story in Eretz Yisrael, where Befani Nechtam need not be said, the Gemara wouldn't have had this question. So again, Himazvi Bezdin Shliach, when Bezdin appoints the second Shliach, Mefanov, does it have to be in the presence of the first shliach, or shalei mefanov? It does not necessarily have to be in his presence. Ha de pashto, and then the question was answered. Bein mefanov, b'shem shalei mefanov. The second shliach could be appointed even when the first shliach is reciting b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. Shoch mitam, and says the Gemara, they sent a psak from Eretz Yisrael. Bein mefanov, bein shalei mefanov. So we began today's shiur by discussing where stipulation was made and attached to the get, and then because something was beyond their control, the halacha is that the get is considered an oinus. Is there such a claim that something beyond my control happened? So says the Gemara, Hu da Amar, if somebody said as he gave his wife the get, if I don't arrive within 30 days, the get should be a get. Also, he came, or pasik mabra, and the river overflowed, and it was impossible for him to come home. Amlu, and he was standing on the other side of the river, and he's declaring, chazud asoi, look, I'm here. Am Shmuel, lo yishmei masya. It's at the end of the day, he said, if I'm not here, the get should be a get. And he wasn't here. Says the Gemara, another case. Huda amala ilai pesinala. Somebody said to the Edom on a get, if I'm not able to reconcile with my wife, atlos and yamim, lave geto. Ozo paisa, he tried to reconcile, loifaisa, and she refused. Amar Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, the get is a good get. The get is a good get, and she's divorced because he didn't succeed in reconciling with his wife. He claims, well, I did try to reconcile. To which Rabbi Yosef says, Miyav lo takva de dinri, did he give her a tremendous amount of money v'lo yifaisa? He can't say that he tried, that this is an oinus. Ikad amri, yod amr Rabbi Yosef had a different approach. Mida takva de dinri by lemesav lo, is he obligated to give her this incredible sum of money? Hapaisa, he did what he can. V'layafaisa, she refused. But since, according to this version, he did what he could, the get is not a good get, because he did what he fulfilled what he was supposed to do to try to make peace. Says the Gemara, what is the machloikis of these two versions? Says the Gemara, ha, command on Yesh Oinus Begitten. There's a question that we learned in Masechta Ksubas at the beginning of the Masechta. Is an Oinus a legitimate claim? Ha says, the first Lashon says that he could have done better. Command Omer, he always ain't Oinus Begitten. There's never a claim of Oinus. The second version held as a claim of Oinus. Our Gemara spoke about a case, said that if somebody tried to show up and then the river prevented him from coming home, the reason the get is a get, because that story obviously holds that ain't oinus begitten. Claiming that you were an oinus is not considered a legitimate claim as far as hilchos gitten. But, as we just learned, Rabbi Yosef in the second version holds that a get could be voided by saying he did the best he could. He tried to reconcile. And according to that version, because he tried to reconcile, it's enough of a reason that the get, that he could claim he's an oinus by her refusing, and the get should be nullified.
So there's a very interesting shaila that's discussed. The halacha we know is that if somebody accidentally misses a tefillah, the way he can compensate it for it is davening the next tefillah twice. For example, if somebody wasn't able to daven Maariv, he should daven Shachris twice. The first Shmoneh Esrei he's going to say is going to be for Shachris, and the second one is going to be a makeup for the Maariv that he missed last night. And it's only, this halacha is only if you missed the previous tefillah. Furthermore, this halacha only applies by somebody who's an oinus, something that beyond his control prevented him from davening. What was the halacha discusses the Muki Yosef, where somebody could have davened Maariv and he wouldn't have missed Maariv, but he delayed in davening Maariv and then in expecting to daven Maariv later, and then when he wanted to daven Maariv, he was an oinus. Is that considered an oinus? If you would have davened earlier, if you would have davened as soon as you could, you wouldn't have become an oinus. The Nemuki Yosef considers such an individual as, and the Nemuki Yosef considers him and considers him still as an oinus. The Aguda, the name of a Rishon is an Aguda, says that that individual is not considered an oinus. The Aguda introduces in Hilchos Oinus a concept of oinus b'yom achron loyava oinus. A person who waits for the last minute, and then when the last minute comes, he's an oinus, says the Aguda, such an individual is not considered an oinus. Why did you wait to daven Maariv late? And then by davening Maariv late, you had this problem. You should have davened Maariv earlier, and if you would have davened Maariv earlier, you wouldn't have had this problem. Mm-hmm. Says the Nesivos that our Gemara seems to be a riot to the opinion of the Muki Yosef. Because the Gemara speaks about a case that a person who didn't try to come until day 30. And the reason why the get is still a valid get is because we're learning that this is considered oinus by get. And the reason it's not a good get is because ain oinus begitten. But we see that it is considered an oinus. So isn't this clearly a raya that oinus b'yom achron is considered an oinus? The Chasam Sofer, in defending the Aguda's position, says that when is there a concept of oinus b'yom achron lo yehava oinus, that if you waited for the last minute, it's not considered oinus by a mitzvah, like we're speaking in our Gemara, davening. Why did you wait for the last minute, says the Aguda, to daven? You should have davened earlier. But when it comes, as the case we're speaking about, of giving a get, there's no mitzvah to give the get, so one cannot have a claim that why did you wait until the last minute to give a get. Rav Shach used to say that people, that when you ask them to do something on your behalf, they say, I'll try. And he used to say that saying I'll try is enough to take care of my obligation to try to help somebody else. So he said there was a story with the Rav of the city of Meir, Rav Ram Tzvi Kamai. He said that there was a Talmud that came to the Meir Rav and asked him for help, asked him for tzedakah for a certain need. The Rav told him that he can't give him all that he's asking for, but he gave him a nice donation. This person was insistent that the Meir Rav give him the entire amount that he told him that he needs. And if he can't give the entire amount, he should give what he can, and he should try to give, he should try to raise the rest. So the Rav got upset, and he said, I won't do that. So the Bacher said, this individual said to the Meir Rav, I didn't ask you to do something you can't do. All I asked you to try. So he brought this Gemara. The Gemara says that by Tak of the Dinri, the Gemara says, is it really considered trying? He could have raised the Tak of the Dinri. If he would have tried to give a Tak of the Dinri, maybe she would have reconciled. He says, what do we see from this Gemara? He says, well, we see from this Gemara that trying, saying that you're going to try, comes with a very serious responsibility. Because saying you're going to try means, like our Gemara says, that you ready, were you ready to give her a talk of the dinrei? And if you weren't ready to give a talk of the dinrei, it's not considered that you really tried. So, says the Mishnah, Amal Mois is a kohen with a levi ani. Somebody lent money to a kohen or to a levi or to an ani. Lias maf shalem mechalkai. That means that every one of us, when we had produce, we have to take off trumas and maestris and give them to the proper individual, to the kohen or to the levi or to the ani. And what the malva made up with the loiva, who is a kohen or a levi or ani, that I will keep though that truma and maestro for myself as payment for what you owe me. Is the halacha, mafresh aleihem, continuing with the subject that we've been discussing throughout these mishnayos. The question is, can he assume that this kohen and levi and ani are still here? So the halacha is, says the Mishnah, mafresh aleihem b'cheska shein kayamim. He could take off those trumas and maestros with the assumption that they're still alive. And he need not be concerned. That maybe the coin passed away, or a levi or asher ani. There's no reason to have this. It's not considered a. That's not something that we have to be concerned. That. So ask the Ksav Sofer that the basis of this Mishnah is that the person has a cheskes chai. So ask the Ksav Sofer this concept of cheskes chai is something that we've discussed numerous times over the last number of shiurim. What is the Gemara teaching us that we haven't already learned? So the Ksav Sofer answers, the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that even if he ultimately heard that these people passed away, but he only heard about it after he used the money, the Truma Maisra, in the way that our Mishnah just described, he need not be concerned that they were already dead when he did so. Moreover, we see that we can rely, says Rashi, on the cheskes chai, even when it comes to the raisa. We have an obligation to give truma maisa to kohen and levi. Here, we can rely on the cheskes chai that it's considered we fulfill the obligation. Mace, continues the Mishnah, if the kohen, the levi, the ani passed away, tzarech litul rishus min yarshim. He has to have a new dialogue with the yarshim, who can now discuss with him. Either they'll pay him directly what's owed, or if they're not going to pay him what's owed, that they could keep the trumas and maestros, says the Mishnah. However, hilvam afnei bezdin, if this transaction, if this deal was done in front of bezdin, then the halach is enu tzrichim rishus min yarshim, that he need not take rishus from yarshim. So of course, the Meiri asked the question, how could somebody make such a tanai? When he made this deal, the trumas and maestros were not yet taken. And isn't there a halacha that we often discuss about ena de makna davish shloi bala oilam? So one answer he gives, that indeed this is a davish shloi bala oilam. But what the Mishnah means to say is that if they make such a deal and they don't change their mind, it's considered a valid deal. Another pshat is that's referring to an apoitiki. And by an apoitiki, we can make a tanai even a davish shloi bala oilam. And the third pshat that he suggests is since there's a halvoi here, so there is something that already exists, the halvoi exists, so then the halacha is that's enough to make that this should not be considered a davish shloi bala oilam. The Ritva furthermore points out that he could continue living based on the terms of this deal, but says the Ritva, the loiva, the kohen, the levi, the ani, always have the right to change their mind. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah says that he could keep the trumas and maestros, he could keep the maestros. Says the Gemara, v'afakav de l'osel l'dor l'kohen. In our Mishnah, the truma and maestro were never given to the kohen or levi, and the question is, isn't part of the halacha of trumas and maestros that you have to give the truma and maestro to the kohen and to the levi? and you're not finished, you're not considered having finished, done the mitzvah until you do so. So how come this is considered that I could keep the Truma Meiser and never got to them? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav, B'makri Kohen Alevia, that this Yisrael always uses this Kohen Alevi to give them the Truma Meiseris. So since he always uses this Kohen, every other Kohen, every other Levi, the way Rashi explains, is Miyayish, has no hope for receiving this Truma Meiser, because he knows that nobody else is giving it to him. This person is always giving it to that Kohen, and therefore it's considered as if that Kohen or Levi already received it. Says the Tosfos, says that the halacha is that if I promised that I'm going to give my Truma Meiser to a certain Kohen or Levi, the halacha is that I'm obligated to give it to him. The halacha makire Kohen Leviya is as if I promised. The halacha is that as if I gave it to him. The Ritva gives a different pshat. The Ritva says that indeed I haven't given it to them, but what Makire Kohen and Leviya that we're learning about here teaches us that there's a special takana de rabbanon that if I always give it to a certain Kohen or Levi, the halacha views it as if I gave it to that Kohen or Levi. There's an interesting shaila that the Chacham Tzvi discusses in the Shalos HaTshuvos Chacham Tzvi Siman Ayin, where there was a child, a son was born to a father, where the father had already passed away before the child was born. And the father, in his previous sons, had always used a certain mile to be the mile for his children. But now, the father is no longer here, so the other family members are the ones that are going to take care of the bris, and they chose another mile. And the mile, who was the mile at the bris of the other children, comes with a claim, your father always used me. Since your father always used me, I should be the mile of at this bris as well. And he used the concept of Makire Kahuna. So the Chacham Tzvi seems to say, as I understand what the Chacham Tzvi is saying, that if somebody always uses a certain mile for the bris of his children, under normal circumstances, that's considered a case of Makiri Kahina, and he has a right to claim that you're supposed to ask me to do the bris of your next child as well. What makes the situation of the Chacham Tzvi different is because it isn't the father. He's not alive. Makiri Kahuna could only be said to a person who's always here. And the Maram Rattenberg discusses a situation where somebody asked somebody to be a moil for the son, and then for different reason, he asked another person. Now these two moilim have it in Torah. The first moil says, you already asked me. And the second moil says that you have a right, that the father has a right to change his mind. So Maram Rattenberg says that once the father was obligated, asked one moil to be the moil by his son's bris, that certainly is comparable to what we're learning in our Gemara about Makiri Kahuna and Leviya, and then the halacha would be that the first moil has a valid claim. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel explains our Mishnah, but mezak lahem aydei acherim, that what happens in our, what is the story of our Mishnah, that he didn't just keep it, he went and had somebody else take ownership in the Trumas Maestris on behalf of the Kohen and Levi. So it is considered as if it came to them. And I saw the Chashuk Yechemin has a long discussion here where somebody gave tzedakah, gave Matanis Lavyonim to Gabbai tzedakah, and the Gabbai tzedakah had it in his home, and he was, of course, doing what he was supposed to do. And then a terrible story happened. They were stolen. And the question is it considered that it was only by the Gabbai? And if it's considered that it was only by the Gabbai, so then the people who gave those matnas of Yoinim, it was Purim, haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. And they would have to pay back. They would have to give the matanas of Yoinim again. Or if it's not considered as if he gave what they were supposed to. They did the mitzvah. They gave the matanas lavyoinim. And once they gave the matanas lavyoinim, the halacha will be, it's considered like mezakel ma'idei acher, and it became already the property of the aniyim. And if it was stolen, the halacha is views it as if it was stolen from the aniyim. Ula Amar, Ula said, and he wants to differentiate in that tshuva between if it happened before Purim or it only happened on Purim. Ula Amar Hamani, who is the Tanav Mishnah? Rabbi Yosihi, it follows the opinion of Rabbi Yosi the Amar. Also, Chazal in a number of places as Mish as She'ena Zoicha, even somebody who did not actually make a kinyan, the halacha treats them kazoicha. Says the Gemara. Kula, Ra, the Shmuel and Ula, who don't agree with the way Rav explains our Mishnah of Makire Kahuna, that the case of our Mishnah is talking about Rav Makire Kahuna, they don't want to explain the Mishnah is referring like Rav, Kurav like Amri, Makire like Tani. Because if the case of our Mishnah was limited to that type of situation, the Mishnah should have indicated that the Kohen and the Levi of our Mishnah are Makiri. Kishmuel like Amri, they don't want to explain like Shmuel, because the Mishnah also didn't say that's referring to a situation that he was mezaka a day achar. Kula lo yamri, and on the other hand, they didn't want to explain the Mishnah as following the opinion of Ula, because lo chidah lo kumekminin. They did not want to explain our Mishnah should follow the opinion of Ula, to say that the Mishnah should have to be only according to Ula's opinion. That's something that they don't want to explain. Again, somebody lent money to a kohen, to a levi, to an ani, with the stipulation that he's going to keep their trumas and maestris as repayment of the loan. Says the brisa, there's a halacha in Hilchos Ribbis. The Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis teaches us that the halacha is that I'm not allowed to buy peiros under the assumption that I'll get the peiros that later according to the price that we made up now. Because we have to, how does the halacha view that, says the Gemara. The Gemara over there says that this is viewed as a loan. I'm laying out money. I'm giving you money now for peiros that I'm going to buy later under the assumption that I'm going to get the peiros according to the current price. So why am I doing it? I'm doing it because I assume that the price of fruit is going up. And therefore, my giving you the money earlier is really just lending you the money, and you're paying me back by giving me the fruit at a cheaper price. So that's considered ribbis. It's not ribbis deraisa, it's ribbis derabbanan. However, the Gemara says there are two exceptions when this may be done. One is b'yeshloi. If the person with whom I'm making this deal has those payers, so he could have given me the payers now, even though he's not actually going to give me the payers now. But since he could have, that's good enough that it should not be considered ribbis. Or b'shat b'atzer ashar. If there's a firm price, the payers have a, it's a commodity that has a price, but since it has a written, recorded price, and you could have gone and bought those payers, even if you don't have the payers, but you to whom I'm making this deal with could go get those payers at the price that we're setting now, so then it's not considered ribbis. Says the Mishnah, Upaisik men, when we learned in our Mishnah that you can make such a deal with a kohen or levi, Paisik aleim, he can make a deal, kishar azol, according to the cheaper price that's now, that's in place now, even though, as we just discussed the situation, with a price way up. Ein boi mishim ribbis, and that's not considered ribbis. And therefore, even if the price will go up until I take off the trumas and maaseris, the halacha is that's still not considered ribbis, as the Gemara is going to explain. Ein shvius misham tosai. We know that shvius cancels all loans. This loan will not be canceled by shvius. Then ba lachser, if he doesn't want to collect from the trumas and maaseris, he wants to collect, he says to the Kohen, to the Levi, I want cash, ain't a chayzer. The halach is he cannot retract. The Shiashu Abalim, if he gave up from collecting from Trumas and Maisris, let's say the Malva's field got ruined and there are no fruit and there is no Trumas and Maisris, a mafresh aleim, one, the halach, and then the Paris got, and then something was produced by the field, a mafresh aleim. So fish, a mafresh and all of it. Once he was miyash, that canceled the debt. And now the Gemara discusses every one of these halachas that we just learned. Amar, paiskimam kishar zol. He could determine the price according to the current price of fruit, even though the price may go up until he actually takes off the trumas and maisers. Pshita, says the Gemara, that's not considered ribbis, because he's getting something. What's the chiddush? That even though they didn't speak about the price, it's considered kamisha pasuk dami. That the halacha is considered that the price is set according to the price that's in the market at the time of the loan. Vein beim shem ribbis. Why is there no ribbis? Says the Ramai Tama, kim de lesle. As we learned, if the malva ends up not having any payris, trumas and maisris, to pay back, for as we just said, let's say his fields got flooded and he doesn't have anything to pay back. Loi yavle, he doesn't pay back the loan. Ki isle, even if he will have trumas and maisris, nami ein b'mishin ribbis, because it's considered as if, not as a loan, it's considered as if it's a sale, that the loiva sold his trumas and maisris to the malva. And even though, of course, there's a halacha of ribbis, but the halacha of ribbis only exists in a situation where there's a loan. The halacha of ribbis does not apply to a situation of a sale, and this is considered a sale. Then shvius mishamtesoy, and we also learned that there's no shvius. Like krina boy loyigos, the Torah says that when is a loan canceled in Shemitah? When I, the malva, have the ability to go to the loiva and ask him to pay back what he owes me. But in this case, he's not going to the loiva to ask him to pay back. That the Shemitah, that the halacha of Shemitah says that I can't, pay me what you owe me. And that is not allowed to be done in the Shemitah year. Here, I'm not asking. It just automatically, the Trumas and Maisers automatically revert to the Malva. Then Balachsa and Chayzer, we learned furthermore that if the Malva wants to change the terms of the deals, he may not do so. Omer Rapapa, says Rapapa, Ela Balabayis. The Malva, can change his deal with the Koyin. That the Because once the deal was done, it's done. I have a coin by Balabais. If the coin wants to change his mind, and Baal Achzer, Chayzer. He has a right to change his mind. The Tanan, Nos Loi Mois, the Aloch is the Mesecht Ba Metzia, the Gemara and Daf Mem Dalam and Alf teaches us that if the buyer gave the seller money, V'loi Moshech Himenu, but they didn't do a Kenyan, you could still change your mind. So here too, that since he didn't get yet the Trumas and Maisris, he could change his mind. We learned further, if the Malva assumed that he's not going to have any Trumas and Maisris, there was a flood in his field, and then, Baruch Hashem, he was able to get some Trumas and Maisris out of his field, a mafresh aleim. They cannot be used. Once he was miyash, it's too late. Ask the Mara, this halacha of yish is a well-known halacha throughout Shas. Why was it needed to be stated? Pshita answers the Gemara. Letzricha, the Brisa is speaking about a case, the Okan, that the tfua that started to grow. And it's not common that it should become so useless and so worthless. Since they started to grow, it has halachic significance, and therefore it should not be considered a situation of yish. and therefore the halachas of Yiyush should not apply. Kamash Malon, that even though they started to grow, so it's an indication that they're not going to be completely ruined, it's still a case that we can consider Yiyush. Tanya Blazim and Yaakov Oymar. Hamava is Kohen with Levi and Bezdin. If somebody lent money to Kohen, Levi and Bezdin with the deal, as we've been discussing, that he'll keep the Trumas and Maestris, or Mace, and then the Kohen Levi die before he took off the Trumas and Maestris, the halacha is that you don't have to ask Rishus from the Yorshim to continue the deal. The halacha is that he could continue, because even though this Kohen and Levi passed away, but the Shevet Kohanim Levim still exist, and based on that, he could keep it. As Ani Bebezdin, or if somebody lent money to an Ani in Bezdin, with the assumption that he's going to give the Ani, the Maisa Ani, and then Mace, and then the Ani passed away. Mafishallah Becheskas and the Israel. He could keep the Maiser because he's not just for this Ani, it's for the Ani Aniim that in the city. And he and the deal, the Bezdin is assuming that it's going to be for all the Aniim in that city. Vachi Amar Becheskas and the Oilam. Ask the Gemara, what's the difference between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Achi? One says a Niye of that city, and one says a Niye Oilam. Answers, the Gemara, the Nafkamina is, Ikka B'naya Niye Kutim. According to Rabbi Elazar, Ben Yaakov, he only has a Niye Yisrael. Because Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov's opinion is that Kutim are Geira Arayis. And even though they're poor people, but since they're not considered full-fledged Jews, their entire Geiris was only because they were scared of the lions that had inhabited Israel because it was desolate. And therefore, they're not really considered Jews. Since they're not really considered Jews, they're not entitled to take Masi Ani. And therefore, they cannot be considered Aniyim who are giving them the Maiser. Whereas, according to Achab Yaakov, Aniyah Kutim are considered Aniyim. Continues the Brisa, Hesher Ani, if I lent money to a poor person with the assumption that I will keep the Maaser Ani as payment for what he owes me, a mafish alav. I can't use that Maaser Ani for that purpose because he's not an Ani. Zoch Allah, but says the Braisa that even though he is not an Ani, so I can't keep the Maaser Ani with the assumption that he's going to keep it, that I'm giving it to him, but still he doesn't have to pay me back the money that he owes me. The Zoch Allah B'mash B'yadai, he could keep the money. Because what was the deal? The deal was that I'm going to keep the Maaser Ani and not have the right to claim any money from you. So even though the reason I can't claim any money from you in our case is strictly because you became wealthy, it doesn't change the terms of the deal that because we agreed to this, to these conditions, I have no right to claim any money. Rabbanan says the Gemara asked the Gemara that the halacha is that if the Ani died, we could continue keeping the Malva could continue keeping the Maaser Ani. And the reason the Malva could continue keeping the Maaser Ani, as the Gemara just said, because he has in mind that it's not only this Ani, it's all the other Aniim of the city and the Yisrael and the Ikutim. Why don't we say the same thing if he got wealthy? Rabbanu Mishnah Lamisa Dovet Akanta. Why, if the Ani dies, did Chazal make this benefit for him? A Mishnah Lashiris Dovet Akanta. Answers Gemara Misa Shkicha. Misa is common. So Chazal had to come up with a solution for such a situation. However, Ashiris is Lo Shkicha, that a poor person should become an usher wasn't common. Amra Papa, Hanadam Remchim. Chavrichmis, if somebody tells you that your friend passed away, Asher, you could believe it. But if somebody tells you it's Asher, your friend who was poor got wealthy, Loita Asher, don't believe it. It's not common for that to happen. We learned in the Mishnah that if the Kohen or the Levi, the Ani passed away, Tzarch Lushus, we have to get permission from the Yorshim. So says the Gemara Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yoimi Yarshim Shiyarshu, what are we speaking about? the Yarshim who inherited the kind of Levi the Ani. Ask them, what does this mean? Yarshim dal Yarsi? What does it mean, Yarshim Shi Yarshu? Yarshim, by definition, are people who inherit. El Omar Rav Yochanan, what Rav Yochanan means to say is, when is there this halacha apply? Shi Yarshu Karka. If there were Yarshim to the Kohen and the Levi, who inherited Karka. Because as we learned earlier in Amasechta, the concept of Mitzvah L'Kayim Devrei Ameis, the Gemara Masechta Ksubis, the Gemara Masechta Babasra, says there's a locha, Mitzvah al Yusoymim L'Froi Chayv Aviyem, Yusoymim have to pay off the father's debt. And Rashi Masechta Ksubis explains that's because of a Mitzvah of Kibur Avayim. But, says the Gemara, and that this halacha is only if the father had left over property. Because when we have property, as we often discuss in Shas, there's a shibud on karka. But if they only left over metaltalin, there's no shibud on metaltalin, and therefore the mitzvah that the Yarshim have to pay off the father's debt do not apply in such a situation. And therefore, v'loy shi yarshu ksofim. And the Ramban says a very bechiddush. The Ramban says, not only in a case, says the Ramban, where the father left over metaltalin, but the Yarshim are prepared to say, we want to pay off our father's debts. What would be the halacha then? He says that even though the Yarshim are doing the right thing, and they're being prepared to pay off the father's debt, still the halacha, says the Ramban, is that the deal that was set in our Mishnah will not apply. And since the deal that was set in our Mishnah doesn't apply, he's not allowed to keep Trumas and Maestris that he's not entitled to. All right, Yonason, Hiniach, if the loiva left over Meloy Machet, just a small amount of property, then the Malva Goiva Meloy Machet, he could only keep Trumas and Maestris equivalent in value to what the amount of Karka the loiva left over. Meloy Kardam, Goiva Meloy Kardam. Rav Yochanan disagrees. He says, "Afil heniach meloy machat, even if he left over just a small piece of property, goiva meloy kardim, then he could collect the entire amount. Why? Because, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Ksubos, because even though he left over a smaller piece of property, the Yosayim will lose that piece of property. They could always buy back the property, and that will go back and forth." So even though we just started with a very small piece of property, that small piece of property has the potential of having the value of a very large piece of property. And that's, says the Gemara, Maisa Dektina D'Abaya. There's a Gemara Masechet Ksubos, Daf Tzadik Aleph on the base, that a loiva had inherited a piece of property that was only worth half the value of the debt. The Malva took that piece of property, and then the Yarshim went and bought back that piece of property, and the Malva then went and took back that piece of property again. And Baya said that the Malva was very much within his rights. So we see that it doesn't make a difference, even if it's a small piece of property, it has the potential of having the value of the entire Chayv.